The stories in 1 Kings are lots of fun, but sometimes you have to kind of understand what's going on around them, if you will. In this part of the history of Israel, we are looking at Elijah. He's the prophet, the great prophet of Israel. And this is about whom this story is about. This is whom the story is about. I think I get it right. Now you have to understand that Elijah was a prophet during the reign of King Ahab. And King Ahab had married a woman. Anybody know the name of that woman? Who said that? All right, Corey. How do you know about Jezebel, Corey? You of all people. Because Jezebel is just the opposite of Corey. I mean, everything good is there in Corey. Everything not so good is there in Jezebel. She is a piece of work. She is from a city far north of Samaria, about 100 miles, if you will, on the coast of the Mediterranean, what's now Lebanon. It's called Sidon, S-I-D-O-N. Jezebel is a heretic, a sinner, an evil woman. She is just a piece of work. But the king of Israel, being the king of Israel and not really caring too much about what God thinks, decides he's going to marry Jezebel. And Jezebel brings all of her tawdry practices and heretical religious beliefs to Samaria. And she begins to lead Ahab and Israel astray into wicked ways and into worshiping somebody else besides God the Father. And in this mix, she has noted that God has a strangely powerful person on God's side. God has selected Elijah to be the prophet. And he's a strong-willed, strong witness for God's word. And Jezebel is taking a dislike to this troublesome person. And so, you know, she's kind of got her eye on him. Well, God is not real happy about what's going on in Israel, and seeing the mess that is being made, he begins to apply some consequences. He begins to apply the consequence of no rain. Now, no rain is not a very good thing when you're trying to grow food, or you're trying to grow fodder for animals to eat so they are food. It's not good to be in a drought. This is a crisis. But God takes care of God's word, Elijah, and takes care of the poor and the weak, and hides Elijah of all places in Jezebel's hometown. The last place Jezebel is going to look for Elijah is in her own home. And so God tells Elijah, go to Sidon. There's a widow there, which is the least and the last and the lost of society, who has a son, and stay with her. And as Elijah comes to this city and meets the widow, we find out that she's got nothing. She has no future. She has no grain to speak of. One last meal and that's it. And no oil except for one last meal and that's it. And God has sent Elijah to her during this drought and makes a promise that she will be fed if she will feed Elijah, and that she will be cared for as she cares for Elijah. Now, I don't know how you would feel if somebody told you that you had to go and live in some place like Afghanistan and live off the land. But that's about what God did to Elijah. And I don't know how you would feel if somebody was sent to you demanding food and care and protection because God told them to come. Huh? Okay. What this asks us and what's important about this is to appreciate how God takes care of certain situations. One, God takes care of the least, the last, the lost. How? By helping them be hospitable. And God takes care of God's word. How? By making God's word dwell in unexpected places. Now, this applies to us today in some very specific ways. Because a lot of times when we look at ourselves in the church situation and see our economy and we think about our situation, we are anxious people for our physical well-being. We are anxious people about our wealth. What we once thought was almost assured, what we once thought was enough, is not nearly as much as we thought it was. We are not certain if things are going to last. And yet, God keeps on sending people who are needy, desperate for love and care to us. And are we able to embrace those God sends to us as hospitably as the widow did? It's a huge question. It's a huge question because there seems to be so few of us sometimes, and it seems we haven't enough to last or get by. Now, we may be right or wrong. We don't know. It's just the way it seems. And the real import is, are we going to be hospitable? The second part of this is to understand that God sends God's people, God's word, into some strange places. I don't know about you, but those of you who have lived in Alexandria for any length of time know that this place has changed. What used to be a whole bunch of white people and some black people is now a whole bunch of every kind of people. This is a different place. What used to be English spoken almost everywhere is almost everything else spoken somewhere. What used to be a fairly calm and quiet community all up and down Route 1 in a fairly suburban area like Fairfax is now almost a city on its side. We've almost become God's word in a strange place by just staying here. We're almost out of place in our own place. But if we take notice of what God is doing with Elijah, we realize that God takes care of Elijah in the most extreme circumstances. And that is a bit of good news for us, because now we realize that we can trust God in the midst of the changes that we experience. Even if we're not being sent to Afghanistan, we can see around us the changes, and we know that we can survive, not because of our greatness or because we're so cool and spiffy, but because God is so faithful. So you have these two elements: the willingness to be hospitable and the willingness to be where God has placed us and trust God's protection and care. Now the question for us then is that the kind of people we are? Are we able, in a world that is not very hospitable, to welcome everyone who God sends us? At least enough to embrace them and make sure that they have a home. To make sure they have a home, if not with us, with somebody else who will care for them. Will we make sure that their spiritual needs are cared for as well as their physical needs? We are delighted almost all the time to feed somebody a meal, but it's very tough for us to feed them with the encouragement of Christ. Are we able to receive these people even though we feel so ill-equipped and so parched ourselves? Can we trust God to fill us with what's necessary to share with those who are in need and who God presents to us? And the other question that comes from that is, are we able to live here in such a way that we're at home in the deepest sense of the word? That despite what changes around us in our culture, despite what we see becoming different, are we able to just be here in a way that tells people that God is present? And that's something that needs to be kind of filled out, because sometimes we say, I'm going to show the world who God is by my example. We need to take a careful look at that, because who do you know in your life has been converted by your example? How have you made God known to somebody who didn't know God through the things you did? That's what you're saying when you say, I'm going to be a good example. How have you intentionally woken up each day and given evidence to the people around you that God is a reality that you trust in completely, implicitly, explicitly, in all things? How is it that as you start your day, people begin to see in the way you go about your work and your day that God is the major part of your life? How is it that when you end out your day and go about your evening business, that people detect in you a deep rootedness in God and a sense in which God is the Lord of your life? You see, it's important to be with God. It is important to understand that each of us, like Elijah, are a word spoken by God. That the things we do, things we say, and the willingness to stay in uncomfortable, changing circumstances is a way of witnessing to the steadfast, powerful, constant love of God. And that's the task that Elijah and the widow had as they endured the 3 years of famine and drought. That by God's provision they lived and thrived, and Elijah was able to go forth and challenge the wickedness of Jezebel and Ahab. And the widow, who would have died that first day or two because she had nothing, was able to be sustained through those 3 years. The same is upon us today. that we would embrace what God is doing in us, and we would be as the widow and Elijah, hospitable, steadfast, and present for the world today. Let us pray. O Lord, grant to us that special courage to trust in you. Grant to us the wisdom to see our enthusiastic Bahamani that says we can do it of our own strength for what it is, and rather to look in deeper, to stand more solidly in your love, to be who you call us to be, to welcome the stranger, the eyes and people who are Christ to us, who Christ is looking for our response of care and love. Help us be like Elijah and the widow. Sustain us in these times of impoverishment, be they spiritual or physical, and bring us to those moments of strength and joy that you have prepared for us in the future. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.